a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome on into another edition of Unrivaled right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network. My name is not Jonas, but that's your band of the day, Weezer. Going over the airwaves here.
Oh, so Jonas is his name.
No, Scott. Okay. No. Let me just paint a picture for
Weezer
somebody.
Weezer is not the guy's name.
So I go, Scott, band of the day, we're going to do Weezer. Never heard of that guy. This is who I have to work with every day. The person who goes, I don't know who Weezer is. He sounds like a weirdo.
Well, there's probably a lot of people my age that think the same thing.
No.
Yes.
Weezer? Come on, man. Megan knows. That's all that matters. Yeah. Band of the day brought to you by Live Nation Concerts for the latest tour news. Artists inside, go to livenation.com. We are here at Homie today, all day today. We are super excited because Superfan Katie is in the house, and she's going to walk us through exactly how you can list your home with Homie and what the benefits are. So we're going to be talking about all those things. First, we're going to start off the program, as we always do. I've got some Pac-12 talk to start off here with. It is our cut right here at the top of the hour. Let's do it.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Are we giving away Jazz tickets today?
We are going to be giving away Jazz tickets. So, not a Tupac, a four-pac.
Ooh.
Every hour.
Four-pac?
Megan, you've heard of Tupac, right?
I know who that is, okay?
I know who Tupac is.
I know who Tupac is.
By the way, the cut brought to you by, as usual, Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for an exciting free offer. Exciting free offer. Scott, I want to get into something because this is a Pac-12 subject, but I haven't really thought about this. And I've actually started to see him pop up. BYU fan, okay? My people. I'm a little disappointed.
Your homies?
My homies. See what, did see what I have to work with every day?
That's the old dad joke.
So the Pac-12, when they rolled out their relationship with Utah, Utah started up this whole thing now, what, 10 years ago?
10 years.
11 years, 10 years ago.
A decade of dominance here by
we
Utah
started,
and the Pac-12.
We started to see, oh, yeah, how many championship banners you guys raising up there? Go Red Rocks, right? Yeah.
It's a dusty rafters.
It's just the one. We're going to redo it at Huntsman Center.
Not a lot of banners.
No, but the Pac-12 stickers rolled up. Any of those, you know those big lifted trucks with the big red Pac-12 shield on the back?
Yes.
BYU fans made fun of that. They go, oh, nice. Yeah, what are you cheering? Who cheers on a conference? Who cheers on a conference? Over the last month and a half, Scott, over the last 8 weeks, since we've realized the relationship now that BYU is going to have with the Big 12, the Big 12 blue stickers are popping. I've seen dozens of them on trucks, cars, all those things. You know why? because they feel – because they're in the club now, right? When they weren't invited before, it was your club's stupid, which is what we always do with everything, right? Yeah, I wasn't invited to the party. We're going to do our own party over here. You know, it's called Independence, and it's going to be really sweet. But those Big 12 stickers – and I'm actually a fan of that XII, you know? The Roman numerals,
is that
12.
What the sticker looks like?
Yeah, it's got the Big 12 logo.
But the pack is a better sticker.
How it's like a shield. It's like a fake NFL shield.
Well, it's a shield.
I'm just saying that BYU fan, if you knocked the cheering on the conference before, and you're not excited about, and now you have that Big 12 sticker, shame on you. But I also say, if you want to have that sticker, and people have gotten pretty creative, put the old cougar that's like, you know, the one who like. The cougar that reaches down through the U, you know, they put that one on the Big 12 sticker.
The U so or the Y?
Sorry, no, BYU sticker.
But he reaches down.
He has his mitts going down the old U tunnel there.
So yeah. There's a U in BYU.
All right. You should have seen Scott's fingers in the room when he just did that. Yeah, we get it. We get it. We get it. But I want to start things off here with the Pac-12 commissioner, a man that you and I've interviewed at Pac-12 Media Day, George Kliavkov. But what I wanted to say was, before we get to that sound, George Kliavkov is a guy who, when we interviewed him, what was the very first thing you thought right off the bat, Scott? What was the thing that you thought about the guy who's going to be the –
Is this a trick question? Because, like, now you put pressure on me.
No, no, no.
What he's thought?
No, no, no. What did you think? What did you think about George Kliavkov now as a change from Larry Scott in the Pac-12?
Well, I think it's someone who had – Larry Scott came from kind of a certain area. Like, his focus, I don't know, was really on – the thing that's really going to drive a conference, and that's the revenue generating sports. It's just what drives everything. Football is king across this country, and if you don't have an influence, some kind of input, or some kind of presence, significant presence on a national stage as a football conference, you're behind. And so I think he realizes that, and I think he's someone who's look. I see what the problem is here, and the. Football has to become relevant across the country in the past.
He seems like a moneymaker kind of guy, too. He's the guy who's
like –
Was
that the answer you're looking for, was a moneymaker?
Yeah, well, no, I'm saying –
Give me a cue card and say he's a moneymaker.
No, I'm saying for me, like, he was down to business right off the bat, right?
Yes, very much so.
He rolled up and he was just like, I want to make some dough for this conference.
And he – right, I would agree with that.
And the last guy lost a lot of money from the for the conference, or at least didn't have a clear vision going forward.
When you wear two Rolex watches, though, I mean, that's –
You need to be all over, exactly.
What kind of statement that?
Well, makes. You got a couple time zones in your conference. You know what I mean? The new Big 12 guy is going to have like, Bowlesby's going to have to get three Rolexes. Here was that sound. I think we've got it now. George Kliavkov talking about divisions in the Pac-12.
Do we want to have divisions or not? There's a nightmare scenario for the conference where a two or three team loss from either the North or South plays an undefeated team from the other side of our divisional structure and. Wins and no one gets a CFP bid. So does it make more sense for us to not have divisions and just have the best two teams meet in Vegas on December 3rd? We won't be able to make that decision this year. We're in the divisional structure this year, but we'll look at that for years going forward, and that'll be informed by what the future structure of the CFP will be.
See, this to me just makes sense. When you have a commissioner that says, here's the problem, here's the challenge, here's the downside to divisions, right? And he nails it, and it's a problem maybe across college football with how when you have divisions. The whole idea for this originally is like, this is to generate revenue. It's to generate interest. It's to kind of have it like a mini NFL. You think of, you know, the NFC East is a very, you know, they got this division within the NFL. You've got you develop these rivalries in these teams. And it kind of has happened. I mean, Arizona State's become a rivalry of Utah and USC and not Colorado. It generates that more centralized or, you know, local interest within these schools. But the problem on the bigger stage is you get left out of the conversation. And you run the risk of, you know, having you know, a team that maybe shouldn't have won the conference finds a way to win on a game or on a you know, on one day, and they have two or three conference losses and they beat a team that's undefeated, because that does happen in college football from time to time. Then you get hosed on the college football playoffs. So, and that's just present college football. When it expands, you have two one-loss or undefeated teams playing in a conference championship, and one of those teams beats the other one, then you have a discussion of possibly having two teams in an expanded college football playoffs. And that makes your conference relevant on a national stage. So I love the fact that he's thinking big. He's thinking nationally. He's thinking like not from a localized presence. And because my concern with this, Alex, is losing rivalries. Because there are rivalries about, you know, you have like Oregon and Washington.
Well, can't you bake that into the, like, I mean, for USC, for example, there are two teams that they could list as the ones that they kind of need to play every year. UCLA and Stanford, right? I mean, those are the games they have to play.
Yes.
But why would it be that hard? UW obviously needs to play Wazoo.
Well, they don't. USC doesn't.
They need to play Oregon.
But USC doesn't play Stanford every year now.
And that's true because of the North and South divisions. Yeah. But
the UCLA is a legitimate
UCLA
thing.
Has to have
Oregon,
that. You gotta
Oregon
have that one.
State is a legitimate thing. Washington,
yes. Those things need to stick. Yeah. Washington and Oregon needs to stay as a thing. But at the same time, being able to build out an 8-team conference schedule, which is exactly what all these conferences need to go to the direction of the 8-game conference schedule. That, yes. It's exactly what Bob Bowlesby has talked about. Every schedule, everybody is looking at it and going, man, the SEC has had just that tiny bit of edge when they in a place where they have never needed an edge. They've had that edge of one fewer conference game. Plug the Citadel or right. Whomever it might be, Howard or whoever you want to play that weekend to just roll over in November, and it gets you a place possibly closer to that college football playoff, which is exactly where the Pac-12 has not been over the last stretch here.
Everyone goes, we got to go to 8 games. And you have to go to 8 games because every other conference is at 8 games. So you're playing an additional conference flow or foe, and you're not getting the same comparison to an SEC school. So that's one side of it. But here's another one that I don't think no one's really talked about this. And when you have one less conference game, it's one less game where you're going to have wear and tear on your team. Because you look at teams right now. You look at BYU. What's happened to BYU? Injuries, right? And you play that heavy
front-loaded schedule yeah.
with a lot of Power 5 schools. Mm-hmm. That's hard for anybody. And the same thing goes for a school like Utah. You're playing all of these schools. And so to go through your schedule and to go, you know, maybe we start off with a non-conference. And we have 3 or 4 non-conference games. Or let's say we have 3. And then we get into a conference schedule. And then you think about Alabama right in the middle of the season, the first part of November. Who do they play? Like Alabama Tech College, mm-hmm. right? And they it's literally almost like a bye week. It's a week where you're still kind of taking the car out and driving it down the street and, you know, making sure that it's tuned in, but you're not getting to a situation where you got to really bring out your big guns and your armory and risk the injury part of it. So just that actually keeps your teams fresher throughout the season, and it's conference wide. This is a problem everyone has. So being able to keep your team fresh and healthy and be able to compete at the end of the season, that's such a massive advantage. Aside from that, every other conference is going to 8 conference games. It's a huge deal, and I don't think anyone talks about the significance.
Why is it that the Big 12? Bob Bowlesby talked to Mitch Harper like last week or 2 weeks ago when they're down at Baylor, and he said, "Oh yeah, we're going to go to divisions." Because then you have that's somebody going the direction of divisions. Why is it that in a place where they are obviously going to be hurting for the national recognition that Oklahoma and Texas brought them? And so if you're going to have a couple of teams that might be undefeated, or at least the best of the best teams that are there fighting for you at the top of your your conference table, why would somebody go away from or want to actually get into divisions just because you have 12 teams in it?
Well, I think it's one of those things that generates interest, right? And I think that's the whole motive behind having the divisions, was to have a way to, like, you know, there's something for everyone to play for in this conference. There's, you know, you have it consolidated, and so because in the Pac-12, you're always talking about it. You got to win the South. I mean, if you want to win the conference, you got to win the South. And if you're going to win the South, you got to beat USC. And so it gives you kind of this hope or this strategy. But then it also creates, I think it was intended to create, so much more interest later on as far as have – why are you making fun of me?
Just your microphone little thing you fell off of there.
Oh.
No, it looked good. It was a little shelf. It sat on a little shelf
me,
on
folks,
your shirt
while
there.
While I
this is Radio 101 here. Scott's bringing it to you. No, that's good. You good now?
Well, now you threw me off. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking
Pac-12.
About. No, but it's like, why have these divisions? Mm. So then you go, oh, we're going to have a conference championship game. Like, I've been to the SEC conference championship game. There's 70-plus thousand people that show up there.
It's as big. Well, and half the time, the SEC championship game may as well be the national championship game.
It's the national championship game. I've been to the Pac-12 championship game, and guess what? It's a dud. It's awful. Like, no one shows up to the game.
Yeah, but you're saying the stadium's not packed out with a bunch of Pac-12 fans in the Bay Area?
Right. And that,
what?
I know. It's a shocker. But here you have Utah fans, and they go, okay, wait a minute. We're playing in the conference championship, and we have the choice of, do we want to go watch that game, or do we want to go watch maybe the Rose Bowl?
Right, and I know people who have totally made that decision. They
go
I'm not going to pay for two trips to California in the next month.
You know,
here.
So there's not a – you got to kind of read your audience, you know, what conference you're in. I mean, if you're in an SEC conference, it's like, could we please get football 24/7, 365? We don't care where it is, who it is. We're going to show up and watch. And, like, the Pac-12 – that's why I was saying the other day, don't have – divisions, have one conference, and everyone competes against everyone.
And you just have the top two play in that conference championship game.
Well, no. What I said, yes, you have the top two play, but bring the other teams. I mean, if you want,
what are you talking about?
If you want folks to show up at your conference championship game, which is now going to be in Las Vegas, and they think by moving it to Las Vegas, okay, great, we're in Vegas, everyone's going to show up. You're going to still have the same issues. Like, I don't believe folks are going to show up.
You don't think
the
UCLA fans are going to pack it out if they end up in the conference championship game in Vegas?
They may pack a casino, but they're not going to pack, you know, Allegiant
You know what they need
Stadium.
To do? They need to invite Gonzaga basketball fans. That's who's going to end up actually showing up at the Las Vegas at the Pac-12 championship game
to watch a game. Say you have an event and have it for a couple of days.
But what event are you talking about? Are you talking like a mini football tournament? What are you trying to say?
Well, you don't have to have a tournament, but you can have a showcase. So you bring all of the teams in the conference, and then they get to play each other at the end of the season an extra game.
Cart before the horse here, Scott. Got to have a good team in the Pac-12.
There are a lot of good teams in the Pac-12.
Currently,
there aren't any great teams in the Pac-12.
I'm going to get my pen out.
There are good teams.
Okay, so
actually,
some...
Oregon, Yogi Roth yesterday, that was a legitimate statement. Oregon healthy is a pretty legitimate college football team.
Top to bottom.
Aside from the quarterback.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting because they haven't had amazing performances at the QB position.
No.
And when your marquee guy is a defensive end, that's always tough too.
Yeah, but he's pretty marquee.
Who was the guy? Oh, Bill Walton was calling the game for a game day this week, or he was the celebrity picker for game day this weekend. And he goes, what was the he goes, that Kayvon Thibodeau brings it every down. He gives it his all every down. And I thought to myself, Thibodeau? I mean, Thibodeau is my favorite nickname for the guy. For a guy who talks about himself basically in the third person, when we interviewed him, he wouldn't even look at us, and he had his sunglasses on in a room. We're inside a hotel in the conference room. He's got his sunglasses on. He's not looking at us. He goes, yeah, man, Kayvon Thibodeau just does what Kayvon Thibodeau's got to do. I'm like, look, Karl Malone, you haven't done anything yet, kid. All right, we got a lot to talk about here, Scott. When you say there are a lot of good teams in the Pac-12, which ones are you talking about? Just Oregon currently?
Well, UCLA's a good football team.
Are they?
Yes.
What happens if
I'm not talking about, like, world champions or even teams that are going to make the college football playoffs, but they're good football teams.
There's no one on track to make the college football playoff in the next 5 years, Scott.
No. I wouldn't go that far. I'd go 4.5 years. Yeah, I wouldn't go 5. I'd go 4.5. I think it's a real problem. And so basically, okay, you're the Pac-12, and you go, well, the only way we're going to have national relevance is we have to sell our soul to one or two programs. We have to say USC has to be the top banana, and quite frankly, they should be. And Oregon is the other team that could do it. I mean, I think a team like Washington is the equivalent of a team like Florida in the SEC.
Where the
SEC.
Heck have the Huskies gone, man? Jeez.
Right, but they have the potential to be one of those teams. I think Arizona State, believe it or not, has the ability to be a pretty darn good football team in the Pac-12.
Well, we still have a
Oregon
lot to,
State is a very good football team.
We got a lot to work out here because I want it to be good. I want it to be the best football it can be in the West, and I hate that that football right now is an almost entirely Eastern sport in this country. We have very few teams that move the needle like the teams that are in the Southeast of the United States do. And so if you want to compete, George Kliavkov, expand the Pac-12 as quickly as you can. I was thrown off by the fact that he was so dismissive.
I don't think expansion is going to help the Pac-12.
It's not about expanding for the sake of just expanding. It's about creating a super conference first, because that's the direction it's all going.
Yeah, but who are you going to get now?
Okay, now, hear me out. Boise State's looking real good this year.
Well, they beat BYU.
I'm just kidding. They're not
looking
terrible.
Beat every team in the Pac-12 this year. I mean, you have a point.
I don't know who
you're
expanded
to. That's the only argument I have for a Utah fan.
Let's pull in the Hawaiian time zone, Scott.
Is it y'all lost to Boise State this year?
Hawaii.
That's the only Hawaii.
Hawaii. Bring in the Hawaii time zone. Now, that's my 11 Hawaii.
If you brought Hawaii in,
Hawaii.
Then you would actually – that's where you have your conference championship game.
All right.
Like the good old Pro Bowl days.
I love that we're thinking this thing. We're thinking this thing through. It's really good.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby.
You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. It is unrivaled on 97.5, 1280, The Zone, Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. We are at homey today. The Jazz actually play tonight. They've got a big game against the Denver Nuggets. We're excited about it.
Are you weirded out by the fact the Jazz are 7-point favorites in this one?
No, the Jazz, look.
I mean, it's a home game, but I'm
Gordon
just saying.
Gordon Chiesa said the Jazz are the best team in the West, so we should act like it, expect it, and be it.
Scott. Alex.
Squat. Alex.
Alex. Scott. I've written it down right here.
I have a list.
He's got the list.
Do you know what I have? I got something. Got something for you today. I've been saving it for like 3 days now. You know who Bruce Lee is, right?
The martial artist.
Yes.
Seattle native. Of course,
yes.
I know who he is.
Did you know?
I've been to his grave. He's in the same cemetery as Kurt Cobain. That's a little something
okay.
for you.
Little, yeah. Did not know that.
There you go.
But did you know that he has a vegan brother?
His brother's vegan.
Yeah, did you know he had a vegan brother?
I did not know that.
His name is Brock Lee.
Okay. Why? How can you laugh so hard at that?
Because it's okay. Only 3:30.
I just want everybody
it's
to know.
Only 3:30.
I just want everybody to know right now.
This is right kind of,
these dad jokes are the things
bringing
that
out the dad jokes.
I was hoping Scott was going to leave behind at KSL Broadcast House.
Guess what?
Here we are. Despite Scott's misgivings and shortcomings, we still love him. Ish. So we're going to allow you to win some tickets. We got a 4-pack of tickets right now to give away to the Utah Jazz and Denver Nuggets game tonight. Give us a call right now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. Caller number 12 gets that 4-pack of tickets. And then we're just going to do the same thing again in an hour where we can give away another pair or another double pair. We call that a double pair.
A double pair?
Scott, yeah, the old 4-pack of tickets. So what are the odds, by the way, we're getting into, brought to you by Sound Sleep Medical. Do you snore at night? Are you currently using a CPAP machine to treat sleep apnea? Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. Visit soundsleepmedical.com. Here's how What Are the Odds works. We throw out a scenario, a sports scenario. It doesn't have to be sports, though. But if it is, you can give
a sports show. We try to kind of keep it in, keep it in our lane here.
0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. Bonus points if you can give a jersey number that correlates to that. Can be anywhere in the wide world of sports. I'll even open it up to, if there's a, if you wanted to give it a 3% chance.
Do race car drivers have a? Do they have a number?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Do they have a jersey number, or is it the car number?
We don't call it a jersey number. Yeah.
They just have their car number.
Put the old jersey on Dale Jr.'s car there, Mike. Yeah. You forgot to put it on. Yeah, it's a 3, like Dale Earnhardt, Senior and Junior. Yeah. They're number 3. Yeah. Right. So there you go.
Like Richard Petty was 43.
Is that what he was?
Yeah. He was 43.
Okay.
What about Jeff Gordon?
Mm.
What about your Formula
Jeff Gordon,
One
48? Or no, that's Johnson. No, that's Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jimmy Johnson
or
Jerry
Jeff
Johnson?
Gordon's 24.
Yes,
see, 24. I don't know why I know these NASCAR numbers.
He was
I've
the
never
Rainbow
seen
Warrior, right?
He was.
Yes.
Scott, here we go. Let me give you the first one here. So we talked about the possibility of scrapping divisions in the Pac-12.
Yes.
Just make it one big happy family.
Yes.
Of which Utah is a very, very important one of those children.
Where do you think they fit? Are
well, they're the 11th child.
Are they like a
– Or a 12th.
An uncle? Or are they step
aunt? No.
I think they're a stepchild.
No, the father is George Kliavkov.
Yes.
Or Keith Jackson. Those are the parents. And then you've got the kids, all the kids. Yeah. Number one child is USC. And so they're kind of the favorite
child.
Yeah. And we learn a lot through the stuff that they do. They do a lot of bad things. And
Who's the middle child in the Pac-12?
100% it's people like Oregon State.
Oh.
Yeah.
You think?
Well, the orange-headed stepchild. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. What are the odds that the Pac-12 actually does scrap those divisions in football?
I think it's a very high percentage. And I'm going to go with 88%. And I'm going to call it – pick a number. I'll go with Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin, 88%? Yeah. Mm. That's way off. I'm going to go with Dez Bryant, 88%. No.
Oh.
I just want to give another Cowboy with 88. I'm going to go – I don't think it's as high just because I think that – well, no, I think it's super high actually because he just said, it's not something we can do this year. And we were like, well,
he's
obviously.
He's not talking about like the potential. He's talking about when
it's
going to
happen. We're talking about the next 2 years. I think they're going to scrap the divisions. I think that it bodes well for a Pac-12 team to sneak into the college football playoff. And I'm going to go with a Reggie White, 92%.
Oh.
Did you play against Reggie White?
I did, yes.
Did he ever sack you?
Not very often.
Yeah.
We had an offensive tackle who really knew how to block Reggie White because Reggie White would just kind of club you and just knock you over.
Mm-hmm.
And Zephyros Moss was not a guy to get knocked over.
Okay.
He kind of played – he had a low center. Get some of these kind of taller, unstable offensive tackles back. All right,
so
I'll give you one.
This is – yeah. Let's hear it.
All right. What are the odds that Rudy Gobert outplays Jokic tonight.
Nikola Jokic?
Yes.
The league MVP?
Yeah, but you have the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
And you have someone who's like impact in the game doesn't necessarily.
What does it mean if he's out? I mean, what do you need for the outplaying him part?
I don't know.
More points, more rebounds? Because Rudy's been 20 rebounds.
Just, let's just go with the eyeball test. It just looks like he plays better.
I'm going to go with did he outplays Jokic? I think Jokic gets up for this game. Oh, I don't know. But the Jazz are favored quite heavily.
As they should be. Terms. I mean, they're, you know.
I'm going to go with Rudy outplaying Jokic. But it has to be anything inside the key is what I'm talking about. Okay? Because he's not defending out on the perimeter. So I'm going to go. But Jokic shoots from out there. So I'm going to go with Rudy outplaying Jokic tonight. He's going to show up. It's going to be his first time to really showcase himself. There's a lot of pride on Rudy's side. I'm going to go Ilyasova, 77%. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's high. I didn't know.
77%?
Yeah, 77% chance he outplays Jokic.
I
like it. He's got more pride, man. Jokic is kind of like – Jokic does the marathon thing. Rudy will have this game, and it'll be awesome. But overall, Jokic might end up being the better player over the
year. I think Rudy Gobert has the biggest chip on his shoulder. I really do. I think he has a bigger chip on his shoulder. Now, for whatever reason, I don't know why. But because, you know, he got paid. He's certainly, you know.
Yeah, but you don't want that chip to go away.
That's what I'm saying.
I know.
He has all these things happening, but he still feels like he's got the chip on his shoulder, which I like. And I think it's bigger. And what I think it is, I think it's that the Jazz – exited way too early in the playoffs. I don't think that sat well. I don't think winning the silver medal actually bode well for Rudy. So I think he's got a big chip. I think this is a big game for Rudy. I'll say it's Brett Perriman 80%.
Okay.
Or Chris Carter 80%.
Or Jerry Rice.
Yeah, I never heard of him.
Okay. How about this? What are the odds? This one's kind of interesting because what are the odds BYU fans boo Bronco Mendenhall in his return to the Bill Edwards Stadium? Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to just say this to BYU fan right now before you give your answer. I was never a Bronco fan. I've said this. I covered the guy. My very first, like, reporting
have this personal vendetta.
It's nothing to do with winning or losing football games. He did that well for BYU. BYU should be absolutely grateful, and BYU fans should be absolutely grateful for what Bronco did for the program. I don't like him on a personal level, but because I've had enough interviews with him where I go, oh, this guy is He's not that into being very respectful. But Bronco, you need to return some respect on Bronco. If people boo Bronco Mendenhall, they have zero idea about the history.
You asked me the question, and now you're trying.
I'm just telling you. What
it sounds like you're trying to get the fans to boo for him.
No, No. That's what I'm saying. Like I don't like him personally. And if you boo Bronco Mendenhall, then you have zero idea about BYU football history. You need to understand BYU football history. Bronco Mendenhall is a massive part of it. Do not boo the man. He deserves massive praise. You should give the guy a standing ovation.
So why are you bringing out your personal issues about Bronco?
Despite the fact that I don't like him personally,
yeah.
If I was a BYU fan, I would cheer Bronco Mendenhall for what he did for the team.
So if you're at the game, you're going to cheer him?
Well, I'm going to be in the press box, so no. I'll get kicked out of the press box.
So you can't do anything.
I'll just have my hand over my heart with a tear streaming down
my cheek.
See,
if I'm in the press box, I'm cheering. I don't care about that.
You guys do. You old ball players play for your team. You guys score a touchdown. Yeah, man, he's gone. I love when I hear that guy, when guys are going, he's gone.
I think the BYU fans have a forgiveness in their heart.
Oh, you even said it like Bronco. I think they have some forgiveness in their heart. Okay.
That sounds like Jim Gaffigan is what that is.
Oh, he's got – this guy's doing weird stuff. He's got forgiveness in his heart.
I'll say it's very low. I'm going to say it's –
Don't boo Bronco.
No, I'll say it's I don't know, Ty Detmer 14.
I think you're going to get – I'm not even going to give a percentage. I'm not even going to give a percentage.
Oh, that's the game.
No, I'm going to give you a number. I'm going to give you a number, though. It's
like
going to be
a number of fans.
Yeah, it's going to be a Kyle Van Noy, three people in the stands booing.
No,
because they're uninformed.
It'll be more than three.
Okay. Well, then I'll say 3%. A Kyle Van Noy 3% chance.
Yeah, but 3% is what you get charged when you're selling a home.
That's true. Yeah. You see how Scott did that there? Oh boy. See now, look. Again, I mean, it goes right along with the bad dad jokes. This guy. It's good.
We're
it's good.
Homie,
I love
on.
It. We are at home.
Yes.
By the way. All right, we are at homie today, and we'll be speaking with Superfan Katie. I'm just gonna call her Superfan Katie, especially because she's got all her jazz gear on.
I love it.
And she's going to the game tonight. We'll come back. We've got much more to go in our next segment here on Unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Yes, right around the corner. Scott's going to give us the key to UCLA not dropping the ball against the Bruins when they come to town, Utes. Stay right here with us. More to go. It is Unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, and that's Weezer in the background. That's our band of the day.
Who's he?
I hate this. Gosh darn it. Yeah, Scott pretended like he didn't know who Weezer was. But I know you know. I know you know. So don't pretend. We're hanging out here at Homie this afternoon. We're going to talk to Superfan Katie in just a few minutes here. Don't worry about it. We've got jazz tickets still to give away. I think we had some winners in the last segment. And I'm certain we did. And then next hour we'll be giving away a four-pack as well. And of all the things, though, that we've been talking about today, Scott, I was thinking about this and I was going – you know, the Jazz are in town tonight, and you know these home games are an amazing opportunity because think about it, to really look and go, okay, a year and a half ago, or you know a year, you know 2 years ago, nobody was in the or a year and a half ago, I guess, no one's in that arena, and then now we're at the point where everybody's walking in, walking around. If you've walked through the hallway at Vivint during a full game these days, it's pretty amazing to be able to see everybody back. See everybody hanging out, and it's just an awesome thing to see everybody back together again. So, Jazz Nuggets tonight.
I hope,
just need a W.
Yeah,
okay?
I hope people, when we get through all of this COVID stuff.
People say that when they go, when this is over. We've been saying that for 2 years.
It's been so long. My point about it is, you know, this has been a tough thing. I mean, it's been a hard thing for people to deal. I mean, it's just totally upended our entire world. Everything that we do has changed. And I hope maybe people have a little bit more respect, appreciation, kindness towards other people from this experience. I'm doubtful, at least in general terms, but I just hope people maybe have some more patience for others.
My wife pointed out that I've been a little bit on edge driving, you know. If you get into those habits, when you're driving of hating everybody. If every person you meet on the road is a jerk, you're the jerk. That's what my wife has pointed out to me.
Did she tell you you were the jerk?
Yes.
Yeah.
I deserved it. Because like there are people who would be like, what is this guy doing? You ever say that to somebody on the road? What is this guy doing? Like he's like as if he's going to hear it. And then, look, settle down out there, all right?
I'm not the most patient driver.
No, you're not. No, you're not. I just try to keep up with you. I just try to keep up with you.
Well, that electric car you have has
some zippity-doo-da. Scott, it's time for a market update. We have every day here for you, brought to you by trydaytrading.com. Dow flat today, up 15 only. S&P 500 up 8, and your NASDAQ is up 9 points right there. There's your – by the way, speaking of markets, Tesla, its market value went over $1 trillion today.
Okay, when we were at the store on Friday, and we had, football Fridays.
There was about 1,000 Teslas pulled up.
Okay,
right?
There was this one parking spot. We're in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. We're at our table there. And I was like, is this like Tesla only parking? Because it was like every car. The car would pull in, it'd leave, another car would show up, and they were all Teslas.
Yeah. Well, look, in this parking lot, it's probably about the same, too. It's probably about half of the – you see a ton of Teslas right here. Scott, I wanted to bring up – that was our market update, by the way. As I said, brought to you by trydaytrading.com. Visit trydaytrading.com. Become a day trader yourself. I was thinking about this UCLA game this weekend and how Utah –
were you really?
Yeah, because when we were talking about – well, because we did show prep, we do that on the show.
Yeah.
Well, you and I were talking about Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and I was like – okay, who's better, Jaden Daniels or Dorian Thompson-Robinson? Because – and Cam Rising has the same capability as both those two guys. And I was thinking to myself, which one actually likes to run? Because it seems like Cam Rising actually right now is the one who likes to run the most. Because
among all of them.
Probably because he's done the least amount of it. And these guys are like, hey, man, I've been doing this too long. I don't want to run anymore.
It feels that way. Like Jaden Daniels when Utah played, like early on in the game, he was running.
Yeah.
And he took some shots. And then later on in the game, it was like, nah, not so much.
I'm throw this ball away.
And that's the scary thing. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Jaden Daniels, both are scary running the football. But it's even like Jaren Hall at BYU. I mean, he is a threat to run. I mean, he's scary. Like what he can accomplish.
If you can outrun the DBs at Baylor for a 56-yard touchdown, you're a threat.
And it's a massive threat. And so you have these guys that go like if I'm a defensive coach, I'm scared to death.
Yeah.
Because don't take off running. But I think a lot of these guys now, these dual threat core, I don't think they want to run anymore, except for Cam Rising. And I even brought this up with Coach Witt. I'm like, don't you think you need to kind of reel him in just a little bit? Because if he gets injured, you do not have a quarter. I mean, you have nobody on your roster right now that has any playing time.
Can we all agree that
Cam Rising is just like, I want to run, and I want to run into things and around things and over things, and I don't care.
Can we all agree that Thick Boy is the worst nickname ever?
Hey, name, image, and likeness. He's selling the heck out of Thick Boy.
Thick Boy. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's a JCW shake right there.
Right.
You got to get somebody to name
I mean,
that
it, might, it might be a, you know, a, kind of an, it would explain you and I a little bit. But I don't know that I'd want that as my nickname.
Yeah, your old moniker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott, last time these two teams played, 49-3, Utah won. Utah hasn't lost in the last four meetings. They're on a four-game win streak. Chip Kelly has brought UCLA here to Salt Lake City and had his absolute tush handed to him. And I think that this is a very different UCLA team. I didn't want to admit it because you and I have been kind of or at least I've been kind of basking in the fact that Chip Kelly hasn't been that successful at UCLA.
Right.
He's never been particularly nice to us at Pac-12 Media Day. But he turned this thing around a little bit. This is a way better UCLA team we're used to seeing.
No, they're a lot better. And this was a team that was just full of young players. I mean, Dorian Thompson-Robinson has been playing at UCLA for 5, 6, 8, 10 years now. I mean, really, he's the guy that and you're starting to see that maturity kind of come through, and you're starting to see this team gel. And, you know, UCLA is one of those programs that, like, if it ever catches fire, they ever figure out how good they actually could be, you know, they could be an elite team in the Pac-12 easily.
We're going to take another break here.
getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
It's a game Cougar fans have circled for a long time as Bronco Mendenhall makes his return to Provo as the Cougars welcome in the Virginia Cavaliers. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 7 with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Players Club.
The Zone's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club. Sponsored by UCCU as BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joins Unrivaled. For an insider look at the Cougar football team, this is 97.5 1280 The Zone.
The best station.
Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of the Players Club right here on KSL's. Whoa, switch it up. Yes, this week it is, of course. We are now with 97.5 1280 The Zone of The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for being with us. And if you are unfamiliar with the Players Club, well, here's what it is. We have Jaren Hall every week right here with us on the program. Myself, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell over here to the right, and Jaren Hall joining us in Provo. So, Jaren, I'm glad you got back safe. How was Pullman, man?
It was an interesting place, man. Small town feel, great people, good football. It was a good weekend.
What was the vibe there, you know, with the fans and everything, and considering all of the craziest that happened with Nick Rolovich and his firing during the week? What was the vibe and the feel from everyone in the stadium?
I don't think you would have noticed the difference, man. Those fans were electric. They were loud the whole game. They were fired up, ready to go. So it was a fun place to play, honestly.
We were talking about how, you know, how different everything, like every week is just different, you know, every week presents its new challenges. Everything's totally different from one week to the next.
Yeah.
And, you know, game number 8 of the year, and you guys haven't had a bye yet this year. And it's been a lot of football, 2 months in a row. Has it dragged, like, what's that been like to have those 8 games in a row, no break, and to just be going at it since, you know, September 3rd?
Uh-huh. It's been fun. Honestly, I think it's gone super fast. I mean, I'm sure for some people it might feel like a drag, but I think for the majority of the players, you're doing so much stuff during the week, so much prep and film time, and you got school and your social family life. The season, honestly, it just flies by. Every minute filled with something. So it's been a pretty quick 7 or 8 weeks now, and it's been fun.
So now that you've had a chance to have the game and get it all behind you, how much of a distraction was everything that went last week? Because it was a story that kind of had national implications, and and it was so bizarre. I mean, you know, just everything that happened. So, how much of a distraction did it create for you guys going into the game, and then and in your preparation, and even maybe during the game?
Yeah, I think we still prepared, you know, more than less. You know, we didn't really worry about what might be different or what the coaching change is going to bring, but we just looked at it from, okay, in the past, us personally, when we missed coaches or players, we'd always played our best, honestly, last year during the COVID season. And so we looked at it from that standpoint, okay, these guys are going to be ready to go. They're going to be fired up. They're going to be rallying together to give us their best shot. And so we just made sure that we were prepared the best we could be.
What was it? Was it the same? Was it what you prepared for? I mean, were there a lot of surprises, or were you like, yeah, this is kind of what we thought they would be, or were there things that were different?
No, from a defensive standpoint, it was exactly what we prepared for. You know, their DC was still there. They were still calling the same stuff. So it was exactly what we prepared for offensively. I'm not sure what our defense saw from their offense, feels any different. Seemed to be the same, you know, run-and-gun stuff. But they did play a lot slower. You know, felt like they were taking some slow drives, chewing up the clock as much as they could. So I don't know if that's normal Wazoo offense or not. Maybe that's something different from the coaching change. That's the only thing I kind of felt as I was playing, the only thing different.
So offensively, you guys, I mean, I don't remember the last time a BYU running back, maybe it happened more frequently than I'm thinking, but I don't remember the last time that a BYU running back had over 30 carries in a game. And Tyler just worked it, and to get to 191 yards, 6 per, and really it was that, I think this is the third or fourth game of the year that he basically locked out an opponent. Yeah. With his legs in those final in that final drive, because then nobody can stop the clock. Explain a little bit of like how, I mean, it was like he got his best work done in that third and fourth quarter.
Yeah. No, for sure. The third and fourth quarter, I mean, we only had four drives, I think. You know, we scored the first two, the third, you know, the three and out, and then the last drive was our drive to finish the game, the four-minute drill. And so, you know, we thought we'd get at least another drive or two to go and score, but then they just kind of kept chewing up the clock, and by the time we got it back, you know, 4.5 minutes left, and it was go time. You know, four-minute offense, feed the ball to Tyler, and let our O-line, you know, lead the way for them, and sure enough, they got it done.
So for you personally in the game, what do you feel went well for you?
We took care of the ball really well. You know, I think we were very efficient, you know, throwing the ball. We didn't throw a ton, but when we did, we made it count. Then obviously our offensive line, our tight ends blocked their tails off. The receivers and the running backs ran super well. I mean, that's the story of the game. You know, when you can rush the ball for as many yards as we did, it's going to be tough to lose games, honestly, you know, as long as you have an efficient passing attack to go with it. So that was a key factor for us, to just fill the game, to run the ball, and take advantage of the physicality.
Sounds like a commercial. we didn't throw the ball a lot, but when we did throw it, threw it very well.
Well, I mean, like that's an efficient day, too. I mean, 15 for 20, that was and I, you know, I think a lot of people were looking at it, and Puka got to carry the ball a couple of times, but I think everybody was anticipating a lot more targets. Maybe it's because Wazoo was anticipating a lot more targets.
Yeah, no, they did. They didn't give us as much space as other teams. They didn't give us the one-on-one matchups as often as other teams did, and I think that was part of their game plan, was to keep everything in front of them and, you know, avoid some of those explosive plays we've been having in the passing game the last couple of weeks. And they did a good job of that. But, you know, when you have as good a running backs and O-line as we do, you know, we can just take advantage of the front, and that's what we did.
So now that you've had this game under your belt and you know, you're playing through the season, there's always something that you learn, a big takeaway from a game. What was your big takeaway from this past week?
Oh, man, I had a couple of them, but I think the number one is just, you know, when you take care of the ball as a team, it's going to be hard to lose games, you know, no matter how many points you score. I think every game, you know, we look at it, we'd love to be more explosive because we know our potential as an offense, but at the end of the day, you know, all you need is 1 point to win a game. And so for us, you know, after that game, it was just a great job taking care of the ball. Their defense, I think, was third in the country in takeaways, especially on third down. They had a very, you know, different third down package that they get a lot of teams into making mistakes. And we had a good game plan for it, and we took really good care of the ball. And I think that was the story of the game, you know, for that close ending.
This is a thing for you, I think, obviously, because the guy who you are in contact with every play, mm-hmm. it's you and the center who touch the ball every play. And you guys have one of the best that we've seen in a long, long time at BYU, and James Empey. He goes down with an injury, and, I mean, Connor Pay has stepped up. How did they anticipate that? Because, I mean, in the end, I guess maybe it was like, look, we know James Empey already wasn't 100% going into this last week. Does he get extra reps during the last week in preparation for this, or was he just that good to kind of step in? I would assume you guys got some work last week together.
Yeah, so every week you have the ones go, and they'll get their reps, and then you split up the team reps, and you get the twos in. So Connor will go into center with the twos when he's not playing guard with the ones, and he'll get the center snaps there. So he's always getting reps every week. We do CQ stuff before practice, during practice with all the different centers. And for that very reason, you know, just, you know, heaven forbid anybody ever goes down, but you got to be prepared. And Connor did it last year in the bowl game when James was out, and, you know, did it again today.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask, is that you know, it's one thing for Connor to step in, but it's also been – I mean, James is one of these guys who's probably NFL ready. He's going to be a playing on Sunday guy.
Yeah.
And so for that, I mean, to see him come out and he had the crutches and the boot on, I think that was disheartening, I think, for a lot of BYU fans to see how good this guy is and how big a part of that offensive line he is. Yeah. What does the center do? What does he do specifically for that O-line group and for your team in that huddle?
James, a commander, man. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever met off the field, first of all. Just a genius. And then on the field, he doesn't have any drop-off. The dude's always dialed in. He's sharp with his calls. You know, as a quarterback, you got a center like that, you never have to worry about protection issues. You know, he's always going to make the right turns and the right calls. So it really just – it speeds things up for us, speeds things up for you know, how many snaps we can get in because he's so dialed in. And then it's just his physical ability, how athletic he is. And, you know, I would have command the line with our other linemen. James is a stud, man. And it's sad to see him go down, man. It breaks my heart.
So you've had a few injuries on the offensive line, but really they stepped up big time in this game and did a nice job closing it out. What did that mean to you?
it just shows the heart of those guys. I mean, those are the guys that really matter. I mean, everybody else gets the credit. You see it in football all the time at every level. You know, they're never making the fancy, showy plays. They're not scoring touchdowns. But, I mean, if you're a real fan of football and understand the game, you realize those guys, that's the heart of every football team, the offense and defensive line. And they, you know, every one of our wins against our big opponents has come down to a four-minute drive where we've had to go down and just impose our will physically and finish the game. And those guys are always the ones leading the way. And so I love those guys, man. They really are the heart of this team.
Baylor goes down in this game as well. It was a weird kind of – on the replay, it was kind of just a weird tweak, you know. It didn't look like it was a ton, but he limps off, and he's listed as doubtful for that game this weekend too. So you have depth at wide receiver you guys haven't had before. This is when it really counts.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's I feel so bad for Gunner, man. It's twice now. You know, same kind of play, a sweep out wide, and he's got rolled up into – you know, I hope he gets back, you know, super, super quick because he's a stud. And when we have him out there, it opens everything up and it makes the defense have to worry about another threat.
What's been the evolution of these wide receivers this season? And it seems like with Puka, you've kind of gotten a rhythm. What have you seen from them and how have they been developing over the year?
Yeah, each of them have their own skill sets, you know, things that they bring to the offense that add to, you know, kind of our identity of who we are and what we are able to do. I think that's why you've seen us win so many different games so many different ways, is because every guy there brings something different. You know, when something's not working, then we can go to something else that they have. So really their development has been over years. You know, Neil Pau, who's been here for a while, you've seen him develop and become, you know, one of the best receivers on our team, if not the most, you know, the best guy in our receiving corps with his experience. And then the other guys are just playmakers behind that too. You know, everyone's worked their way through. Gunner for 4 years has grinded it out, become a leader on this team, and been an absolute presence down the field making plays. And Sampson and Puka, their athleticism and what they bring. And then the guys behind them too. You know, I could go through the list of all of our receivers who have played big roles this year at some time. So it makes life easy as a quarterback, man. It's fun.
And part of the success you have running the ball is, you know, that downfield blocking, because sometimes receivers, they it's like I catch the ball, I don't block kind of thing, and these guys do a good job of downfield blocking as well.
Yeah, I mean, Fessy, he and A-Rob both, I mean, they instill that in our receivers to be the most physical team, physical players out there, you know, and that's been part of our offense for years, you know, being violent and reliable, and I think our receivers really took that to heart this year. I mean, they've gotten a lot bigger over the years, stronger, and you see that way they run the ball, the way they block. Where they make plays in the air on the ball, it's pretty impressive, honestly.
That's like the weirdest like resume builder. I'm violent and I'm responsible. I'm reliable, but I'm also very violent.
Well, it's violently responsible. is how you actually
coin it. Time and a place.
I'm curious with these wide receivers in so many subtle ways. What have they done to you? Like, pulled you aside and just and how have they bribed you and just said, hey, you know, how have they gained your confidence?
Not much bribing these days, you know. These receivers, they're so good all the time. They're usually pretty dialed in. They know what's going on, and they just kind of tell you what they're seeing, you know. There's no
they'll
give you slightly
game. I'm talking about during the week.
Every single day you got conversations, you know. We'll text back and forth, guys talk about film, well, what they're seeing when they're watching film, but
you know what, I'm really
open
on.
Offered much, man. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe about the
see. I had a wide receiver one time. He sent me his highlight tape. So I was in the NFL, and he was a first round. He was a good wide receiver, but the two other guys were
Pro Bowl guys.
He's out of luck, man.
And he's like, and I know exactly. You never had anyone send you a highlight tape, though, right?
I'll send you mine, Jaren. It's fine.
Feel free.
Get you on my turkey bowl team.
I need all the football I can watch.
Get the reps in.
The highlight tape was good. I mean, it was entertaining. I love the
idea that you put it in and watch it. It's probably on a VHS.
Well, of course,
too.
I did. Nice. Well, VHS. It was back then.
They still work. They still got TV.
Well, no,
you convert them now.
We can go to my mom's house. Okay. You can probably get the VHS working. All right, Jaren Hall on the Players Club. We're talking a little bit, kind of breaking down a little bit of this Wazoo game, and you said the season's gone really fast. Like, I mean, it does seem wild because it also feels like 100 years ago that you guys were in Vegas taking on Arizona. Just like so many things have happened since then. So how do you look at that? How do you look at the schedule going forward? I know you take it one game at a time, but you're in the last third of the season here. These last four games are massive to be able. I mean, you guys have a chance to be a double digit win team. Do you guys talk about that as part of now kind of some of those new goals that you guys are setting?
No, I mean on a team level, you know, we never get ahead of ourselves in that way at all. I mean, personally, you know, when you're talking to your boys, you might talk about things like that when you're just chopping it up, and it's fun to kind of talk about, you know, what could happen and all the cool things you could accomplish, the goals you have. But as a team, you know, we really honestly just try to focus on each week. You know, when you start getting ahead of yourself, then you start losing sight of some of the small things you need to do, you know, and start getting distracted by other things that haven't happened and don't matter. So for us, we really just try to stay locked into every week. Because, you know, there'll be a lot more to celebrate when the day comes when you got, you know, the two-digit wins and, you know, trying to celebrate it now when it hasn't happened, I guess.
There's our first part of our discussion with Jaren Hall. We've got much more to go here with our discussion with him. And just wanted to mention, though, just in the last few minutes here, within the last hour, the University of Utah has announced, by the way, before we get back to our Players Club, Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe will be honored this weekend. They're going to retire the number 22 jersey officially this weekend against UCLA. That will be an amazing thing to be a part of. Every game, Scott, we were up in the stands for the ASU game, and they had the 22 seconds of silence, which they're going to do before every game as it is. Or I guess and then they do the between the third and fourth quarter, they kind of do this celebration of
22
life.
Seconds of celebration.
And it's pretty cool to see, and they played
both
the video
are very
last
touching.
Time.
Amazing.
This weekend, I think you're just going to get another burst of just emotion from this football team because they're going to retire that number 22.
And all of the schools around the conference have just been very gracious and nice and respectful and have had their own tributes and their own moments of silence or whatever they've
right.
done.
So. You know, and as we talked with Jaren Hall during the Players Club, we asked him about, you know, what they've gone through and things like that. These guys are already in the middle of so much going on in their lives. It's like there is nothing else going on. If you try to tell them, oh, yeah, here's what's going on in these other football conferences or, you know, if they're not playing somebody, they don't know what's going on with that team at all. They go, oh, I haven't been following any of that. I'm just 100% focused on this. But all the local players and local teams, they're it's one of those things where everybody goes, they're aware of it, you know, and it's an important thing for these guys to all be able to chat and have this. Their friends go back and forth and they talk about this, but and now that they've got the Aaron Lowe Memorial Scholarship and the Ty Jordan Memorial Scholarship, that jersey is going to be retired number 22. Kyle already said it earlier in the season. He goes, look, no one's going to wear 22 as long as I'm the coach here. And now they're just going to make it official that number 22 is going to be retired forever for the University of Utah. I think it's an amazing thing.
And the 22%, you know, just give 22% more.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of that effort thing.
22% better every day. Isn't that what it is? Yeah. Yep. So it's a cool thing. And so that'll be an emotional moment, I think, during this weekend's game when they retire that number 22 jersey.
You're listening to the Unrivaled Players Club.
Great play.
With Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and BYU's Jaren Hall.
Throws for the end zone. It is caught in the end zone!
Presented by UCCU on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It is the Unrivaled Players Club, brought to you by UCCU, Love Where You Bank, 97.5, 1280, The Zone, Zone Sports Network.
Trying to get that new radio signal down, man.
Yeah, get it all down. And we're, of course, powered by KSLSports.com.
Yeah, you got a question right off the bat here, Scott?
Yeah, I've got lots of questions. So one of the things that in some of these offenses that you guys run these days, how hard is it when you're kind of in the shotgun and you do the kind of the zone read and then you throw the quick pass? And I see so many guys like throwing the football without the laces. They just grab it and they just wherever they catch it, they throw it. Where do you land on that? Like, one, how hard is it? And two, are you a guy that always throws with the laces?
I try to throw with the laces, absolutely. I'll answer the second question first. I mean, that's the easiest way to do it, in my opinion.
Have you ever done it without the laces?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I mean, there's certain throws. You're never going to drop back and throw without the laces, obviously, unless
you
know, prefer that or whatever. But, yeah, there's some of those quick RPOs or just quick passes you got to get out now. You might just grab it and let it go. You know, it doesn't have to be pretty. You just got to get there,
Are you one of those guys that could eventually start throwing with the glove on, too? I feel like the glove, I don't know. That's
I mean, If the weather made it happen, you know, watching the 49ers and the Colts last night, yeah, both quarterbacks had the gloves on. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's a time, you know, that warrants the need to do that.
Have you ever tried a glove and throw
them? I don't think I ever have. Maybe in youth ball.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You saw Garoppolo throwing those ducks up too.
When that water's coming down like that.
I know. And when you're not used to throwing the glove on top of it, it's got to be
true,
killer.
Man. It's true. It's going to be killer. As long as the ball gets there, huh?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what the have you seen the weather forecast for this?
Supposed to be good through the weekend.
I think it's supposed to be good.
Supposed to be nice.
It's supposed to be good.
Well, so that's
good. It might rain
news.
During the week, but it'll be good Saturday.
I got to when I started covering BYU as a young pup reporter. Bronco Mendenhall was the was also pulled in as a new head coach at BYU after Gary Croton, and so I covered Bronco for a lot of years, and I think a lot of folks who've covered BYU in the last decade and a half you covered a lot of Kalani and a lot of Bronco.
Yeah.
Bronco has his I think he was a tremendous coach for BYU. Won 99 games in his career over those 10 years. And that's a dang lot. I mean, he brought BYU back to winning double digits in the season. He had an interesting style of how he presented himself, and he was big time on what BYU's mission was.
Right.
And Kalani's the same way, only just they are very different personality-wise. So what do you see difference-wise in the two personalities of those coaches, both of whom you've spoken with, obviously?
Shoot, man. I don't remember a ton about Bronco, I'm going to be honest. From high school, I have a terrible memory.
That's a good answer for a quarterback.
I don't remember that last play.
I don't want to be throwing out any comments that are, aired and flawed in any way.
Sure.
Bronco was very – for sure, I remember being – when I was recruited by Bronco, I remember the first thing he did. You know, he pulled up the honor code on his TV in his office, and we went through that together.
Oh, wow.
Right? You know, kind of like a little minute interview with your bishop or something. You know what I mean? So
it was
cool to
the,
see this kind
you
of
do
focus.
The interview?
I think I passed. I mean, I got my offer after that meeting, so I think I passed. I did okay. And then Kalani was a little different just because I was already committed. He came in and just kind of reassured that I wanted to keep my commitment and whatnot. But Kalani, you know, since then has been just a player guy, all about the players every bit he can and about the fan base, you know. And so I think in that way they're a little different. Again, I was never played under Bronco, so I don't know what he was like in the locker room and around. Just heard stories, obviously, from some of the other guys that were here when he was. But, yeah, I don't know if that answers the question.
That was a long time ago,
for
man.
You.
I like
the answer if I don't remember anything in high school.
I got hit many times, man.
That's what I say now. That's my great answer. I've been hit in the head a lot. Mitch Harper, of course, the host of Cougar Sports Saturday, and we had Mitch on earlier, and I said, if you could ask Jaren Hall any question, and if there was something you really wanted
for this week.
What would you what question? Would you want to know? So this isn't my question. So if you like it, you can give him Mitch the credit. And if you hate it, then you can give Mitch the credit. So here's the question. What he wanted to know is how motivated are you to beat Bronco in that he offered you, you know, when you were at Maple Mountain High School? And so does that ever play into your – I'm asking this question. I know the answer right now, but there's a question. Go ahead and answer it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of ties to this game for me. I mean, this Bronco and his coaching staff offered me in it originally, so I guess that plays into some of the emotion of the game.
Was
for
that
sure.
the first offer you got?
No, I was actually offered by A-Rod and the Utah staff.
Oh, okay.
My first offer. Yep.
Was it?
And BYU came later.
Were you leaning already toward BYU, obviously, because mom and dad both went there and that was it? Or were you like really open to, go somewhere else?
I was genuinely open. And then I had spent a year in the recruiting game and kind of looked around. But just felt really good about BYU, honestly. Just felt like it offered me a lot of great things for football. I don't know. Like I said, a long time ago, I don't remember what I thought, to be honest. But I think that's what I was thinking back then. Shoot.
Well, now you can think about it now, what you were thinking. So at least through the lens of all that knowledge.
Yeah. No, I definitely kept it open. You know, my dad never he wasn't one of those guys that tried to pressure me into following the footsteps by any means, right? So.
Obviously, the interesting thing about this weekend is that of the two quarterbacks, people are talking a lot about Brennan Armstrong because he leads the nation in passing yardage. Mm-hmm. Had an insane game last week against Georgia Tech, having throwing for 400 yards, running for almost 100, and just I mean,
yeah, but Georgia Tech's not any good.
It's 40
That's
giving up 40
man.
Points.
Yeah,
so,
he
but
out.
I mean, obviously, in every game, he's been able to put up a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
But What is it that you guys are doing to prepare for Virginia? Because they, in a weird, interesting twist, because Bronco Mendenhall isn't known for having like these insane offenses, but his defense is kind of his calling card. And so, what are you guys expecting out of Virginia, who could rightfully be right where you guys are, you know, in the rankings? They're 6-2. You guys are 6-2. Where do you see this Virginia team though right now?
They're a really good team. I mean, shoot, I'm sure the other two losses, they probably felt like they should have handled their business there too. So, you know, just the way we feel, it's a confident team. They're rolling right now. We got back on the win column this last week, so, you know, we'll have our spirits up and our energy back to where it was. It'll be a great game. They have a good defense. You know, we know their offense will do what they do, so we're offensively for us. We'll just have to be ready for, you know, a shootout if that's what it is. But other than that, we just got to go take care of our business, put points on the scoreboard.
How meaningful will it be for you to be home and be in front of that crowd you have? What kind of impact does that have on your team?
Oh, the energy is amazing, honestly. You know, I think most of our home games can be attributed to that, especially like the Arizona State game. You see the way it plays in both offense and defense especially, you know, with how loud it was. But just I think it's just a separate confidence and a love and gratitude you feel when you're at your home field to see all these fans who support and love the game of football, love your team. So it just gives us more to play for, more to prepare for this week, and just to really focus and strap down so we can, you know, put on a show for our fans and give them something to be proud about.
Typically, there's something with a defense you've got to handle. What is the biggest challenge that Virginia's defense poses to you guys that you got to take care of this week?
They'll be a little different than what we've seen. They're not as generically based in their fronts, in their back coverage. They kind of window dress their coverages a little differently than what we've seen all year. And so for us, it's just a matter of watching film and getting familiar with kind of how they disguise their different coverages. And in fans, you know, you guys will see in the game, obviously it looks a little different, kind of an umbrella coverage they play, and they do a lot of different things out of it, roll different coverages. So for us, yeah, just be able to adjust on the fly as the game goes on, but just trust what we see on the tape and just be ready to execute.
You're two-thirds of the way through the year. We didn't get to ask you at the halfway point about it, but how do you grade yourself so far through the year? Be honest in your assessment of yourself.
Great question. I do not like answering. I will grade myself. I really got to answer this question.
Well, here, actually, yeah.
How about you give me a grade?
It's not about a grade.
No.
It's not really about it necessarily. I'm not as worried about the grade as much as I am going, hey.
What have you done well so far this season?
I felt like done a really good job taking care of the ball. I mean, in eight games we've played right. I think one game with a couple of turnovers and bad choices. But other than that, you know, just keep trying to keep things simple, get the guys the ball. You know, and of course I attribute that to our great offensive line who, you know, give me a lot of protection and time, and it makes my life easy, able to make better decisions. And then A-Rod calling great plays that have easy and simple reads. So I think we've done a great job taking care of the ball so far this season. I don't know we're ranked in the country, but I think we're in the top 20, you know, in our turnover percentage. And so we take care of the ball. It's hard to lose. So I think that's something that I've done fairly well this year.
Appreciate Jaren Hall taking time with us this week. That's the Players Club right here on Unrivaled. You get Jaren Hall every week, the quarterback for BYU, breaking down the game that was and the game that will be this weekend. Fans looking forward, of course, to coming back to LaVell Edwards Stadium this weekend for BYU. And old Bronco coming to town in Virginia.
You're listening to the Unrivaled Players Club.
Great play.
With Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and BYU's Jaren Hall.
Throws for the end zone. It is caught in the end zone.
Presented by UCCU on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled on 97.5 and 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network powered by KSLSports.com. That's a mouthful, isn't it? We got a lot going on here, and as part of the Players Club, Scott, Jaren Hall's had – I mean, he said it, I think, when we started talking to him about how – and we say it every year, and I cannot believe we are eight stinking games into the year already. I mean, eight games into the season, which means we've got four more left, and it just flies by.
Alex.
Did I do it right?
Pretty much. Okay. There's 12, and you've gone through 8. There's 4 left.
There is 4 left. So
I even know that.
That's two-thirds of the season in the books there, Scott.
Well,
mentioned.
Don't get into that.
Oh, you know, fractional stuff?
Yeah. Fractions kind of make me a little edgy.
How is it that you – because one thing you've told me – because you have to be really, really – You have to be really, really smart to be a quarterback. I mean, really, in the NFL, do you have to be super smart? Because all you guys act like you're so smart, and all these defenders are so stupid. Come on, man.
Stupid is the stupid does.
Like what? Rush the quarterback? You're so stupid, man. You're rushing that quarterback.
I mean, seriously, you have someone that we'll get into that later. Okay. It doesn't matter. But yes, you have to have superior intelligence and intellect and
be handsome.
Yes, and be handsome.
Keep all your hair. Uh-huh. Yeah, good for
you. Well, some guys don't keep their
hair. We've got all that going.
Now, me, on one hand, I keep my hair.
You've kept your hair. It's very good.
And it's natural, too, by the way. This is the color. There's no coloring.
That's right. Joining us right now on our Smart Rain guest line, Jeremiah Jensen. Utah's going to be going through a drought next summer. Smart Rain knows that. And they know that you're probably budget planning for next year as well. So take advantage of that Save Now, Pay Later promotion. Do your part. Save water while saving money at the same time. Check out Best of State Award winner Smart Rain at smartrain.net. Jeremiah joining us here on the program. We just got off the horn here with Jaron Hall. And the discussion we had with him was about, I mean, he hated it because we asked him to grade himself through the year so far.
No,
but I mean, I know it's a tough
question.
Well,
how would you grade yourself, Jeremiah?
Well, not
I give myself an F every day. That's how
Come on.
I'm sure Jared's the same way. We're all hard on ourselves.
Very
hard.
It's hard
to grade yourself. That's why you have teachers or bosses. That, right?
See, I would say D minus. I wouldn't say.
Oh,
F.
Come on! Do you remember that? Remember that in that. Tommy Boy when he goes?
No, I think you're an A.
D plus. Oh my gosh, I passed. That's all that matters. That's us. It's the so here's the deal with Jaron though. I think he's about a B plus. I think he's done really, really well this year because he's taken care of the football mostly. He missed a couple games because of injury. You're not going to dock a guy because of that. But the points haven't been up on the board for BYU this year. I'm not just talking about, like, crazy, you know, Zach Wilson 2020 numbers. I'm just saying, like, the numbers have been extremely low on the yardage during the games and points then to boot. And you know, it's a very Bronco-like number to go, we're aiming for 24 points a game, which is kind of where they're at right now.
Yeah, and I think you want to do better than that, right? And I think that BYU wants to do better. I think Jaron wants to do better. And I didn't hear your conversation with Jaron, but I mean, a B plus, I think is pretty fair. I think there's some fans that are hard on Jaron, and I don't understand that. I don't think some of the issues that they had in the games they lost were Jaron Hall's fault.
Right.
Could the offense be more dynamic? Absolutely. Could it be more efficient? Absolutely. So there's plenty of room to work, but this is his first year as a full-time starter. He's by eligibility, he's a sophomore. So there's plenty of time moving forward to get better. I mean, what grade would you have given Zach Wilson as a sophomore? That year didn't
probably
go
not
well,
a B plus.
No, it would have been like a C. Yeah,
It wasn't good, guys. And he had some injuries, and there were some issues there, and he missed half that season. So B plus in your sophomore year, and the team's 6-2. I mean, it's pretty good, right? So yeah, I think anybody would take that.
I think you have to look at the season who BYU's played. How well they've played this year. I mean, 6-2 for BYU at this point in this season, before the season started, I think you'd be very pleased with your quarterback play and the record. So, I think it's really more about have you won and is your team doing well? And I think that's the case. And I think Jaron's handled it pretty well. And, you know, he'll get better and he'll improve and he'll kind of blossom or not. I mean, that's you know, you see these guys that start when they're young, you see which direction do they move. Zach Wilson got better, and some of these other players who've played early on in their career didn't. I mean, I think of Jake Browning at Washington, and, you know, his best years were early on, and he just kind of stagnated. So that's kind of the
Jake
fun Heath part
of a freshman
of
BYU. Exactly. There's an example.
Yeah. Well, as we look at this game against Virginia coming to town, who has the edge here? I feel like Bronco is the one who has the edge in this game, not because of anything else except for that he's one of these guys that if he knows the system that you are and kind of what you run, that was kind of his calling card to be like, he could dial up a defense against you. And that being said, even though he's a defensive-minded guy, they have the number one quarterback in the country right now in terms of yardage. In Brennan Armstrong, I mean, Bronco Mendenhall, very rare that he's going to have one of the best offenses in the country too, but he's got it.
Yeah, they're good. Virginia's good. They're 6-2 as well, and they're fourth in the nation in total offense. Can you imagine ever thinking that a Bronco Mendenhall team would be fourth in the nation in total offense? But here we are. And so, yeah, Saturday is going to be a weird dynamic because I think that Broncos evolved and I think BYU has evolved and things are much different than they were back in 2015 when he left. You know, as far as who has an edge in the game, I mean, Virginia is a team that has to travel two time zones, I should say. So I think that that's something that's going to be difficult for them to overcome. They play near sea level. They've got to come play at altitude. I think that's going to be tough to overcome. So I give some of those edges to BYU. And I think BYU does have a talent advantage over Virginia based on what we've seen. Look, Virginia's having a good year, but the ACC is really down. And I don't think that they've faced the tough schedule that BYU has. And I think BYU will be more battle-tested. I think BYU is going to win. But this is Virginia is no slouch. Broncos done a great job building that program up to this point. They've been to three straight bowl games. They're going to make it four, and they're still in the race in the ACC to win that conference, which is crazy. So this is going to be a fun game for a lot of reasons, and I look forward to the Saturday's battle.
All right, he's Jeremiah Jensen from KSL 5 Television. JJ, what's going on KSL 5 TV tonight, 10 o'clock?
So big game tonight, Jazz and Nuggets. Nikola Jokic in town, the MVP. We'll show you coming up tonight at 10 how that game's going, and we'll also check in with the Utes and Cougars as well.
All right, there's JJ. Tune in on television. We'll talk to you again later. JJ, have a good rest of the week, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, taking the break.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Oh, there's your band of the day, brother. Look, you did your Def Leppard yesterday. I've got my Weezer today.
Yeah?
No problem. I'm basically just doing stuff that I listened to high school, into high school. That's what you kind of do. You revert back to the songs you listen to when you're in high school, man. That's why you're all, dude, turn up the Warrant.
The Warrant?
Turn up Warrant, dude.
Is that like the BYU?
The BYU. yeah, it is kind of like that. Hey, it's 97.5 1280 The Zone. It is Unrivaled right here. If you missed our conversation with Jaron Hall, you can go back and listen on the podcast. Our Players Club every week that's brought to you by UCCU. We have awesome stuff that Jaron Hall, we get to spend an extended amount of time with him every week thanks to the new NIL deal. And also, and then we have a Utah player also every week. Devin Confusi joins us. And he breaks down quite a bit as well. So if you want to get some insider information and some insights that you're not necessarily going to get anywhere else, you can get it on the Players Club right here on Unrivaled. We'll have Devin on Thursday. So you don't want to miss that if you're a fan of BYU or Utah football or just like to get all the info. We're going to start off the old hour here, Scott, as we always do. Our top story of the hour. Let's jump in right here. It is The Cut.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
A couple things to get to. First off, as always, the cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, before we get into my favorite Tom Brady story of the day, man, you quarterbacks.
It's a thing. It really is a thing.
It really is a club. When you guys had your quarterback club in the 90s, where you'd throw your little footballs with ink on the front of them at passing, that's such a – think about how ridiculous that would be to explain to somebody in a third world country. I know we don't say third world country anymore. A developing country.
Why would you have to explain it to anybody?
Well, because these athletes get paid enough money that they're just horsing around on the weekends. Okay? Well, how are they horsing around? Well, we have these electric carts. Okay? Who are they driven by? Who? We don't know their names. Just people. And they, we put a target on them. The people? No. The carts. And we put some ink on the front of a football. And we throw it at a cart as it goes by. That being said, it was the only thing I wanted to do as a kid. I was like, I got to throw a ball at a golf cart. I got to get a football with those golf carts passing every which way. Did you get bonus money for participating in the quarterback club?
You're out of one side of your mouth, you're saying, you quarterbacks and your thing. And then out of the other side of your mouth, you're saying, I want to be one.
1,000% if I'm not invited to the club.
So if you add up both sides of your mouth together, then you're going to come to
the
conclusion that you want to be a part of the club.
Well, you guys are so exclusive, and you're so you're not. You're exclusive. You're not inclusive at all, Scott. I think you guys you don't let people like me participate. All right.
People like me.
Yeah. You heard me say it.
Well, that's probably true. But it's there's an evolution to all of this, actually.
Oh, is there?
Would you like me to explain
it to you? Yes, I would love for you to
I did see a quarterback, I'm not going to mention any names, who showed up on, was it Monday Night Football? Because that was yesterday, right? It is Tuesday. Is it Tuesday today?
It is Tuesday.
Yeah, it is Tuesday. So Monday Night Football, former NFL quarterback.
Yeah. Is he left-handed?
It might be.
Did he play in this state?
I'm not gonna go any further than
that. Got it.
All I know is the hair color looked good last night. That's all I'm gonna say.
He had some Rudy Giuliani, some streaks heading down the old.
No, it was dialed up. No, it looked good. Yeah.
What was the old Just for Men theme? They can never tell. What was it?
See, I don't have those issues. I don't know. All right, let me explain to you the evolution of football. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a thing.
All everybody, right? Listen up here. Scott Mitchell's giving you the evolution of football.
No, we have super fan Katie. She's telling us about her son who's playing like flag football.
Yeah.
And she's like, all he wants to do is play center. Okay. So when you start playing football, that's when this evolution process happens.
He might be the smartest position on the field. Center might be the smartest position.
Center has to be pretty smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's how it works. So you start out playing football.
Got it.
When you're, and the coach goes, who can throw the ball, right? Mm. And guess who that is? That's the quarterback.
I feel like, were these drawn on caves back in the day, too?
It could
like,
have been that
the
way.
The evolution of football.
It might have been that way. Mm. And so you go through a process of evolution, and it starts like, and I hate to say it, it's just that I didn't make up this evolution. Okay. I just lived it, right? Okay. And so if you can throw the football, you're the quarterback. If you can't throw the football, well, then there's 10 other positions on offense and 11 other positions on defense that you can play.
So the defenders.
I'm just going to tell you that it works from offense to defense.
Yeah.
Okay. So
from most important to least important. Is
yes.
That what you're saying?
Okay. Yeah. Now, I'm going to give you an example here. So then the next position is wide receiver. And it could be running back, wide receiver.
It would have been running back like 15 years ago.
Right, and it's kind of exactly. See, now it's evolving.
Tight
right?
end might even be above the pecking order, above the running back these days.
Tight end is a modern invention. That evolution kind of evolved. But
you drew those guys on. This is where we first saw instances of tight ends drawn on the cave walls.
Exactly, and they started out in the water and they jumped up onto land.
They got legs, kind
of right? But here's how it works. So wide receivers are like really fast players who can catch the ball.
Okay.
Now,
thanks for saying that slowly for me too. Who can catch the ball?
Can catch
Alex?
The ball.
Don't look at me like that, you patronizing quarterback.
So then the next process is wide receivers who can't catch the ball.
Uh-huh.
They become defensive backs. So, for example, D'Angelo
Mandel for BYU.
Did you notice how he couldn't catch the ball? Right, so he dropped interceptions like right in his hands. I don't know. It's number 12.
Okay, let me look. I just know that I just couldn't.
He's
remember.
A safety for BYU.
Yeah. No, he had an amazing. Okay. It's Malik Moore. Malik Moore had that insane catch on the interception, but then there were a couple more that were right in the old mitts.
And that's why he plays defense.
And he dropped it. Yeah,
okay.
Malik
Moore. Does she understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So then you have running backs. Right,
the hand signals themselves. You can't see them over the radio, but they're offensive because he's like doing like 1+1 with his hands.
And so then the running backs, they run through the holes.
Got it.
And they're fast, but they can also catch too.
Okay, where does Hans sit in all this? As an offensive defensive line and an offensive lineman. Now he went defensive line.
Hans Olsen.
Hans Olsen went straight over into.
So he's a defensive lineman.
He was, and then he. But then.
Wait, which way did he go?
He was a defender, and then he went over to the offensive side of the football.
Yeah. So
that's a good evolution, right?
Well, see, the offense and defensive line kind of rotates because you have one tackle, usually a left tackle or a right tackle. Depends on the –
high in the pecking order.
Well,
for you, it was a right tackle that was the most important.
Yeah, but what you have is you've got a tight end who's basically a glorified offensive lineman who can catch.
Sure.
Now, when you – Once you can't catch, you just go over to defense.
Okay.
Right? You just,
just, you're over there.
You're just over there.
Okay, you might be,
we don't even
want to
bother with these kind of guys.
I want to set
but
this up.
But I want to tell you where it ends up.
Well,
here's the low man on the totem pole.
Who is it?
It's the nose tackle.
Oh, boy.
And he's the most robust player on the team, the biggest guy. Right?
So robust, yeah.
Like
an Italian sauce. Yeah, yeah, it's robust. Well, hey!
maybe he's rotund.
Yeah, like that's...
You
know we have to interview Devin Kaufusi tomorrow, right?
I've had this discussion. Well, okay. And you've seen Devin. He's trying to gain weight, yeah. Right? So you, when you're the nose tackle, it's I either go in that gap or I go in that gap.
Sure.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's the end of the evolution.
I can't believe
this. And so this is how it rolls out. It just... You figure out where you fit in the evolution in the pecking order of football, and it ends up at nose tackle.
And it ends up at Tom Brady being so offensive last night on the Manning cast on Monday Night Football.
It was not offensive.
It sent people into all sorts. You should have seen the groups. There are groups who defend defenders.
Defenders?
Oh, there are groups
defenders?
Out there. Oh, yeah. They're nonprofit.
Yeah.
They're out there. Okay.
Advocacy and groups,
yes,
for
they
defenders.
Are. Yeah. Well, look, they can't defend themselves. So here's what the quote was on the Manning cast that Tom Brady had to say. He said, "Have you been in some of these defensive meeting rooms?" Which I've heard you say for years. Have you been in one of these meetings? What do they even talk about? Here's what he says. I mean, you wonder why they play defense, and after about 2 minutes, you go, "Oh, yeah, they could never be an offensive player." I'm still quoting here.
Right.
Continuing. Quote, "Defense is kind of like a dog chasing a car. Just get the guy with the ball." Like Tom Brady, and you're laughing because you're in that dumb quarterback club who's going, "Sometimes we allow them to play on the same field as we do." You just don't like it because you're the car they're chasing after. That's why you're grumpy about it. They're going to tear your bumper off.
Let me tell you something really. This is insider baseball right here. Okay? This is
tune in, everybody. Yes. Here we go.
Is this part of
the quarterback Illuminati? You're sharing some of you guys' secrets, all your smart secrets?
I'm unmasking
okay,
people.
Okay, I got it.
Written in defensive playbook. So at the beginning of the season, you get handed a book.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And the book is like, here's our philosophy, and this is how we line up. They go through the basics. This is how we line up in the huddle, and this is how we call out the plays, and this is blah, 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 blah. And the number one front-of-the-page strategy on NFL defensive playbooks is this. Our number one job is to take the quarterback out of the game. Number one job.
Like hurt him?
Our number one job
okay.
is to take the quarterback out of the
I
game.
I got you.
Okay?
So it may or may not be explicit about
then,
it.
Then, no. This is the unveiling.
Okay.
Then this is how we do it. This is how we do it.
Oh, boy.
Right?
I hate you right now. Okay? Keep going.
You have to sing the song, too.
I am not going to.
No, I think you should.
I just love it. Like, you basically did what William Shatner did with Rocket Man.
Why?
This is how we do it.
No,
I
did not.
This is how we do it. Okay, keep going.
So what you have is you have the explanation of the techniques they actually use to take the quarterback out of the game.
What are they?
So it's how you land on the quarterback.
They talk about this.
Yes. It's how you roll into their legs. It's
oh,
how you
boy.
Roll into their ankles on the ground first and then roll into their knee. Because if you roll into the upper part of their leg, then their knee, the lower part actually gives. But if you make their knee, their foot actually stick in the ground and then bump their knee, your knee can't go anywhere. So guess where the give is? In your knee.
Yeah.
If you saw how Zach Wilson was tackled, that is no accident.
Okay.
It's never an accident. Now,
here come the conspiracies, everybody.
This is
it's no coincidence.
No, there, this is the smoking gun. There
so everybody's at it. So there's basically always a bounty gate that's going on.
I've read the playbooks. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And I've seen it, and it's a coach that today is one of the most revered coaches in all of football.
He's a defensive coach.
He was. He's no longer coaching.
Okay.
Okay. Whoa. So I will just tell you, but you'd know who he was if I told you who he was. And I'm not going to tell you who he is.
That's how every secret organization works. Oh, very high people. If you have I said
oh, in the highest levels.
You'd recognize
in the highest
you'd
levels.
You know who they are.
Yeah. So there is a concerted effort, absolutely 1,000%, to get rid of quarterbacks.
Well, so Tom Brady didn't help the cause because he fired some shots across the,
well,
across
he can,
the old.
But here's the difference between then and now with Tom Brady. Like now, no one can touch the quarterback. You can't even touch the quarterback. Like I would talk trash like until I filled a landfill.
Nowadays,
my goodness, yes, because you can't.
Yeah.
Now you would joke with guys on your own team, but you'd never try to stir the hornet's nest with everyone else.
Right?
Because
they
like,
could. Well, because I think about who was the guy who body slammed Jim McMahon for the Packers. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
And he put Jim McMahon. He gave him his first like real bad concussion. I mean, it ruined his career.
Well, his
almost.
Shoulder too.
I mean, and his shoulder.
Yeah.
And it was that pile driving thing. It was way after the play. And I was like, you know what? Because I watched it the other day and I thought, that's a 1980s like NFL quarterbacking situation.
Yes.
They let him play and they kind of had just like no holds barred.
The NFL is rough and tumble. You know, it's
not anymore, according to you veterans.
It's not.
It's a pansies game now.
No, it's
don't even get to touch the quarterback.
Very different world.
You could throw for 600 touchdowns easy now, Scott, right?
No, my arm would be too sore to throw for 600.
I want to give you a little.
See, can I just tell you really quick about Tom Brady?
Yeah,
I think he's so old now. Like, I think you get past the point where you just can't get hurt anymore, because like you just don't have muscles. You don't have any definition. There's like
is that what you do? You should go into a retirement home with that take.
You fossilize.
You guys are old enough now. You're probably not going to get injured at all.
You fossilize, right?
That's where I'd lead with that. That's how you say, and that's how you pitch to the person who runs the retirement home that you want to talk to this group of people. See what's happened is their bones have fossilized. Come on. All right, Scott. There are three undefeated teams remaining in the NBA. Do you know who they are?
There's only three now.
There's only three, buddy.
Wow. It's not the Lakers.
It's not the Lakers. That's
the
most important answer.
That's all I care about. Okay. It doesn't matter at that point. No more Lakers.
Can you give me one at least?
I would say the Utah Jazz.
There you go.
Yeah, that felt a little leading to me. It felt like you were kind of.
Well, that's a pretty easy one to guess since they've only had two games. And we've been talking about those first two games quite often.
I'm going to say this is a fun game. I like this. I'm gonna say the Miami Heat.
Okay, dead wrong. But keep going.
Well, then I'm over with. It doesn't matter anymore.
It's one more Western team, one more Eastern team. The Eastern team you wouldn't necessarily.
I'm gonna say it's the.
Don't put the mold.
It's the Nuggets.
The Nuggets
Clippers?
Are 2-1. The Warriors are on.
Oh, the Golden State Warriors.
And the thanks for telling me where they're at. Thanks for telling me where they're located. And then the Bulls. That's the other three
teams.
Oh,
the Bulls.
So, just not to get your hopes up, Scott, I don't think the Jazz are going to go 82-0, but things are looking
pretty good right now. You are such a negative Nancy.
Things are looking pretty good right
now. They're so pessimistic.
I just think it's funny. I don't think the Jazz
are going to go 82-0.
Three undefeated teams in the NBA. After, like, three games, there are only three undefeated teams left. This is why, like, the college football playoff is garbage, because you're asking for these guys to go undefeated and act like that's the norm. You go to professional sports and they're like, hey, we're three games into the season. Everybody's gotten beaten, you know?
So, you don't compare college and professional. These are amateur athletes, Alex.
Student athletes. You don't call them amateur athletes.
Your home for the best college football coverage in Utah. This is your Cougars at 30 update on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. This is your Cougars at 30 update. Kalani Sitake giving an update on some of the injuries that BYU has heading into Virginia.
The hard part about doing this at noon, that hour, is that we don't know enough, right? So we'll ask the people that you guys do interviews with after practice. So maybe A-Rod or Fessy or someone will get on and give you some information on those guys and Elisa. But right now I don't have a lot to give you. So they're really being evaluated as we speak. You know, whether the news gets out. I mean, I imagine by the time after practice, everyone will know what's going on. If it's season ending or if it's going to be some time. But right now I don't have any info for you.
Playing very coy, Kalani there. Your Cougars at 30 update brought to you by Marley's Gourmet Sliders. Whether it's the classic, the Rickster, Killer, Handsome Rob, Pastrami, Fajita, or their Killer Breakfast Burritos. Don't forget those best shoestrings on the planet. Marley's Gourmet Sliders, satisfying any hunger. Visit them just off of I-15 inside of Tippinogas. Harley Davidson.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Go away, son!
And, the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Back, it is unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone. Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. Scott Mitchell here. Alex Curie over there. We've got Megan. We've got Katie Superfan.
Superfan Katie.
Yes. Is it Superfan Katie or Katie Superfan?
It's new. It's new today.
So it's evolving.
Yeah. Superfan Katie.
So
she's wearing her jazz gear. So on the days that she wears her jazz gear, Superfan Katie.
Megan asked me a question, and I thought it was an interesting question. So I'd like to maybe
all
answer
right.
it on the air because
got
I think
it.
People, inquiring minds want to know. So Vontae Davis for Utah has a cast on his arm.
Yeah.
And she said, how can you play with a cast?
It's kind of a club.
Yes.
At this point.
Well, it looks like a club. So the answer is yes, you can play with a cast. And what has to happen is, of course, the athletic trainer has to put it, like protect it, that it will not only protect the player, but it will also protect other players. So you can't use it as a weapon.
Mm.
And then the officials actually have to inspect it.
Right.
So they look at it and they go, okay, this is game worthy.
You can't beat anybody with this. Great.
Right, yeah. Now, some people, like, they could play with a cast, but some people couldn't.
Well, Jason Pierre-Paul the other day playing for the Buccaneers, their edge rusher there, he had one of those clubs on, and it's funny because it did. It was just a massive ball that was taped onto his hand. I mean, that's what it looked like.
Right.
It was just – and my thought was – they must make it kind of in between that rock hard and totally soft to where it doesn't, you know. So it has to be in that middle space. Either way, sure, he's not using it as a weapon, but he's still beating the heck out of people across from him.
Now,
I mean, my heavens.
Now, there was a follow-up question. And the follow-up was, well aren't you not – you wouldn't get healthy if you're out there playing with your broken whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, you're never healthy.
When nope.
It's just – every week is an evaluation. Am I healthy enough to play this week?
It might make it to where it won't make it worse for that week, and so you could still play the next week. Still injured, though.
See, some people
just
go,
get me to the offseason, man.
That's all they just say, I'm injured, I'll deal with it later on.
We got a couple things going on. First, our NFL Roundup brought to you by LHM Used Car Supermarket. Over 1,000 used vehicles in inventory. Shop online, LHMUsedCars.com. Scott, also, I'm going to get to some Mike Tomlin audio here in a minute, but I've got some jazz tickets to still give away.
I love this.
You can join Katie and other jazz super fans tonight at Vivint Smart Home Arena, and you can do it by giving us a call right now. 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. 12, caller number 12 is going to be the person who's going to win, right? That's what we do. All right. Jeremy just confirmed.
Isn't there like a Ford fan zone or something?
There is a Ford fan zone. You want me to tell you what the Ford fan zone is?
Yeah.
I'll tell you exactly what it is right now. Because I think this went away for COVID for a minute. But this is an insane thing that they now do. And it's the Ford fan zone. And the all-you-can-eat situation is back. So purchase a Ford fan zone all-you-can-eat ticket to an upcoming game and receive unlimited hot dogs, soda, popcorn, nachos, and ice cream. Starting as low as $30 a ticket. Are you kidding me?
Isn't that like the Mount Rushmore of like game snacks? You have hot dogs,
right.
You have popcorn, you have nachos and ice cream. I mean, isn't that like that's your go-to?
There's
stuff,
a pecking
right?
order there. So visit UtahJazz.com or call 325-2999. That's 325-2999 to buy your Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat tickets now. That's one I have to keep away from my kids because they hear about that. And then they won't even want to go. They'll want to go to the Jazz game.
They just want to eat all the
yes,
time.
Yes, yes, yes. So, yeah. Number one concession food, I think we can all agree. Let's say it at the same time, Scott. 3, 2, 1,
pizza.
Nachos. Come on!
I knew what you were going to say.
Okay.
I just said something different. I don't like when you do that to me because I feel like I'm going to get the answer wrong.
That's part of the joke.
I know, I don't
Come
like
on,
that.
Man. So, Scott, we were talking about the evolution of the football player, and
yes.
I want to jump into the evolution of a football head coach. Mike Tomlin, Steelers head coach. This is a guy who he's already cemented himself. He's going to be in that ring of honor in Pittsburgh, right? I mean, he's one of the great head football coaches in the NFL during my lifetime. I mean, he's been a fixture there in Pittsburgh. And I love his attitude. I love how fired up he gets about stuff. So his name is being thrown around for college football jobs. The assumption if you're throwing your name around for college football jobs, like the USC job or LSU, which are the two that are floating around out there, that implies that you're out at the place that you built, right? And Mike Tomlin's not some failed NFL coach. And so I think when he hears it, he gets a little bit upset. Here was Mike Tomlin's reaction to having heard that he was up for some of these jobs at USC and LSU. Take a listen.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
there's no booster out there with a big enough blank check. In comes Elon Musk, and he's like, I've never been a booster of this, but I want to see where we can go here. I want to see how far we can take this thing.
Look, one of the franchises, and this may be like a good example for a lot of places, the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the most patient, loyal, and I don't even want to say long-suffering, but they do not like change. You're a player, you go play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're probably going to be there for a while. Ben Roethlisberger, a longtime Pittsburgh Steeler, and they haven't had that many coaches. I mean, really, it's just been Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin. And you think of all these other and you think it's because look,
that's
Mike,
insane. Three head coaches, and they've all won Super Bowls,
right? And Mike Tomlin is not had success recently. You know, the Steelers, and of course that's the speculation. Maybe he's bored. Maybe it's time to move on. Maybe he's not getting the job done. Pittsburgh Steelers are like, we're going to stick with you. We're not going to give up on you. We don't believe in that philosophy. They understand how to nurture and how to develop coaches, players, personnel people. It's truly a model for a lot of people. And it's so much, what have you done for me lately? And what are you trying to figure out? Not a snowball's chance. I mean, I could have answered this for Mike Tomlin easily.
I just love how he comes out of the gate. I mean, you don't have to hear more than 1 second of Mike Tomlin's press conference for him to go, look, and you just see, and you see his eyes.
Yeah.
I've never seen the clip. I've only heard the audio clip. I know exactly.
But you know what it looks like.
I know what it looks like because his eyes are popping out of his head, and he is mad at these reporters. So never say never, but never. But here's the funny thing about it. This all started because Carson Palmer goes on a radio show and goes, yep, I've talked to the leadership there at USC because he's obviously a notable alum from USC. So he goes, somebody asked him about it. He goes, I've talked to him about names. And here's what these guys do. They throw big names out there because maybe those big names have never considered it. Mike Tomlin's not having – he's having one of the slower years of his career at Pittsburgh. But this is the equivalent of going, I've heard Pete Carroll wants to go back to USC. Well, why? He's having a struggle a little bit at Seattle. He's 2-5. They've lost three of their first home games. And then someone goes, Pete, any validity to the rumors you might be going back to USC? And he's going to go, look, guys, I'm not talking about this. The answer is no. And then when Mike Tomlin says never say never, but never, then people kind of dig in and go, yeah, but.
If you want to be the head coach at USC, I mean, Mike Tomlin, when he was hired – for the Pittsburgh Steelers, people didn't go, oh, what an amazing hire. You know, they weren't like, I mean, he went out and proved himself. Pete Carroll, when he was hired at USC, people were not happy about it. They'd already hired a former NFL coordinator and it didn't work. And so they're like, you did what again? Seriously, Pete Carroll? And so it's got to be the right, it's got to be the right dynamic person to fit in that situation. And going back, like you can't go back if you're Pete Carroll. And Mike Tomlin, I don't, you know, probably wouldn't work there. And it may even be the same thing with Urban Meyer at the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's like maybe the shelf life of Urban Meyer is kind of expired. And the magic of of who he was and the dynamic nature of you know, being in the right place with the right group of people at the right time fit. But maybe it's, you know, it's going to be tough sledding for Urban Meyer. And maybe they need to find a person that, really wows them, but maybe isn't a name people know. And maybe it's not just a former or current assistant coach like Clay Helton, who is already there, you know. But, it's a tough thing to find the right guy, because they're not just out there all over the place. I mean, there's a lot of head coaches now that aren't that great.
Scott, let me ask you something.
I'll give you a name. You want a name? Doug Peterson.
I love how you're like, are you shocked yet?
He's not coaching anymore.
Why not? Won a Super Bowl like two seconds ago.
And he kind of has the personality to kind of think outside the box and be a little bit crazy.
Hey, we've got our Jazz insider, Ben Anderson, host, of course, of Jake and Ben, 10 to noon right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone. And he's going to join us. Also, an amazing byline there at KSLSports.com if you want to get your Jazz fix from one of the best in the market, if not the best in the market, Ben Anderson. Go give him a read and give him a listen next. We've got more to go right here. We're at Homie all afternoon here. Stay right here with us on Unrivaled on 97.5 and 1280 The Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Powered by KSLSports.com. Joining us on the program, our Jazz insider, Ben Anderson, host of course, Jake and Ben, 10 a.m. to noon here on 97.5 and 1280 The Zone. Hey, now that we're into the second week here, Ben, this is just between us, okay, you, me, and Scott, because, you know, we're the new guys on the block here. How's it been for you?
Yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah, this is really awesome. Easy, and I got to tell you what, guys, 2 hours is pretty smooth. 2 hours is pretty cool. You guys got it easy over there.
For sure. Listen, back in the day, there was a time when I had to go 5 hours on Nightside, and they finally cut it down to 4. And then when it got to 3, a 3-hour show was like I woke up from a nap or something. It was so dang easy. And 2 hours, heck, I could sneeze a 2-hour show. You know, that's what I always thought. But that
I think
said,
you could talk nonstop through 2 hours by yourself, no interruptions, no one there. That's what I think.
Yeah, you and Jake already have the chemistry thing down. It's awesome to listen to. And we've got 3 undefeated teams in the NBA so far this year, which I love. The Bulls, the Warriors, and your Utah Jazz.
The Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, the Golden State Warriors. Scott needed to put that in there just to tell you. But tonight, the Nuggets are coming to town, Ben, and I'm confused about – I'm not confused, but I feel like a 7-point line in this game in favor of the Jazz is a lot. Am I crazy to think that the reigning league MVP might come in there with something hot to offer for Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, I think they might be trying to get people on the fact that Jazz have had 3 days off and the Nuggets played last night and actually lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So clearly, you know, Denver's not quite right, but they also crushed the Phoenix Suns early in the season. So I think that's a little bit of a dangerous line to play with if I'm looking at it, but that's also why I don't gamble. So, you know, I think, you know, Jokic is going to come in, and he gave the Jazz a ton of work last year with 35 points and 11 rebounds and 9 assists. He really understood what the Jazz were trying to do and how to attack them. Now, the Nuggets only won one of the 3 matchups last year, but, you know, this is a great player. This is a once-in-a-lifetime player that we're watching in Nikola Jokic, and, yeah, Denver's going to come in, especially on TNT, looking to get revenge for their loss last night.
It looks like Rudy Gobert is chippier than he's normally chipped on his shoulder self. How do you think he'll fare against Jokic tonight?
You know, I think
and moving forward,
things,
really.
Yeah, I think one of the things Rudy's had to figure out is to not try and win the battle with Nikola Jokic statistically, and he's not going to. You know, Nikola Jokic is just, he's so productive, he's so good, the things he does are so unique. And even, you know, Gobert, I thought last year saying, hey, he got my MVP vote, was kind of the, you know, maybe a final true admission that, hey, what this guy does is just, it's so special, it's so difficult to try and, you know, stop one-on-one. What I need to do is play my job, defend him as best I can one-on-one, and then still do my team defense thing, still try and protect the rim when the rest of this Nuggets team gets into the paint. And if I can do that, you know, Jokic can get his and the Jazz can probably still give them a chance to win the game. As I mentioned, they did that 2 out of the 3 times last year. So he doesn't need to take this, you know, challenge as like a, hey, I have to shut down Nikola Jokic or I've done bad. He needs to play his team defense like he always does. Hope Jokic has a bad night and hope his Jazz teammates can help on the defensive end of the floor.
Ben Anderson joining us here on Unrivaled as we get you going up here into your the coverage of pregame right here on the Jazz Radio Network in 97.5 1280 The Zone. I was looking at this game, you know, on the schedule, and I'm kind of going, you know, this is one that, I don't know, the NBA doesn't really have necessarily rivalries like you have in some of these traditionals. And I thought, are the Nuggets a rival, and is it a regional thing, or is it really just whatever team is good and the one that you have to go through to get that, you know, and division titles are garbage in the NBA. But
no, they're not. They're very meaningful.
No, they're not. So what is this? Like, how does this game sit with both of these teams? Do they look at it like a rivalry, or is that not even a thing in the NBA?
I think there was probably more of a rivalry when these two teams were trying to prove that they belong. Now the Nuggets have made a Western Conference Finals after beating the Jazz and beating the Clippers. The Jazz have finished the season with the best regular season record. So I don't know if it's necessarily trying to fight for, hey, we're a for-real team. I don't think anyone's questioning that both of these teams are legitimately incredibly talented and have high ceilings and you potentially have championship ceilings. I'm not sure that rivalry is there necessarily, but certainly, you know, the fact that they both win a lot of games at home because of altitude, the fact that they've kind of had these weird stars show up on their team where Rudy Gobert was the 27th pick actually by the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic was selected in the second round, that Donovan Mitchell was a former Jazz guy that, you know, or I should say a former Nugget on draft night that got traded to the Jazz, that Jamal Murray, it kind of has this Donovan Mitchell type of flair to his game. And obviously we remember what they did to each other in the playoffs. So I think a little bit of it's there. I don't know if there's a real hatred for this team, but also I think some of that might come from coaching where neither Michael Malone or Quinn Snyder, I think is the type of coach that's going to go out and say, hey, this is our rival. We don't like these guys. We've got to take them out. And, you know, there's not enough bad blood probably historically for that to be the case where there might be some between, you know, the Knicks and the Celtics or the Celtics and the Lakers or some of those teams in the Eastern Conference.
Jazz are working on improving their perimeter defense. How would you rate their performance so far in the season? Is it something that's working or is it a work in progress?
Yeah, I think just statistically, it looked really good because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander went 7-for-17 on opening night in Salt Lake City. So I think that's a bonus. You know, Lu Dort only went 2-of-10, so that's really nice. And then you saw the other night, De'Aaron Fox, I think, went something like 4-of-15. You know, he just did not go off. I think Davion Mitchell, the rookie, who was so good defensively, still only shot 1-of-8 from the floor for 3 points. So if you're just looking at the raw numbers of what the Jazz have done, so far, so good. You know, that's what you're hoping. But it does seem like shooting percentages across the NBA have been down, including the Jazz, who are, you know, they're like 42%, 43% right now from the floor as a team. And last year they were up at 46%. Their three-point shooting's down at just 33% right now. It was up at 38% last year. So it does feel like a lot of teams are getting off to a slow start shooting the ball this year, and maybe the Jazz are just benefiting from that. But, you know, it's a good sign. It's a sign you want. You want to see those percentages for the other team down as well, and the Jazz have been so far.
Ben Anderson, you can hear him on The Zone, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. 10 a.m. to noon every day with Jake Scott, and we're looking forward to it. I'm assuming, are you doing some duties tonight with the game? Are you doing any pre and post? What's the deal now? I mean, are they making you work more? I mean, my heavens.
No, I mean, thankfully, I don't have to work anymore. But no, I'm heading down to the arena to talk to Quinn Snyder, coming up here in just a few minutes, and then we'll have your coverage. And, you know, it's an 8 p.m. game. So, again, another late night, and then back at it tomorrow morning.
Back at it tomorrow morning. You hear him at 10 a.m., and you can read his byline also tonight after the game, not too long after. Ben Anderson is at KSLSports.com.
You can also join Jake and Ben Friday at the warehouse from 10 to noon. Price is so low, it will blow your mind. Boom! Boom!
Yeah, we know about that. All right, Ben, thanks for hanging out, man. We'll talk to you again.
See you guys.
All right, we gotta get things going here.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.